Tiny Ficklets, written by Anna Girl, read by Sly Hostetter. Author's note. I wrote some comment ficklets for people who guessed the answers of the wacky fun fandoms I have known, Meme. Except for Enterprise, at which I totally failed. These are the same ficklets collected. Disclaimer. Clearly, I claim no ownership to these characters or contexts, nor am I making any money from this fic writing thing. Battlestar Galactica, guest by Reeve Lucid. Felix hates his pants. He hates the way the cheap fabric sags and wrinkles, making him look slightly rumpled. He hates that they don't quite fit around the waist and that they're a little long at the hem. They're his pants now, but they weren't always. Once, they belonged to someone else, a miner who died when the Cloud Nine exploded. His clothes went up for auction. Felix needed something that wasn't a uniform. At the time, he hadn't thought too much about it, beyond the anger at the unexplained explosion and the growing disappointment at Baltar's response. They'd been pants, just another scarce item, another piece of someone's broken life. But with every day he spends on New Caprica, as he wakes up and gets dressed, damp and chill, even in the Colonial One, as he watches Baltar pop more pills and defer decisions, the more he hates his pants. He longs for heavy, durable fabric and clean-pressed lines. He longs for a leader, for someone who gives orders and commands respect. Felix misses his uniform, and he misses having a place to wear it. Due South, guest by Sandsets. There are a lot of things that Deef misses now that he's in a human city. He misses snow, real snow, clean and white. He misses trees and rabbits, especially rabbits. His human gets him good meat, but it's not the same as fresh-caught rabbit, still warm between his teeth. Rabbits, Deef thinks, as he runs after a human. The human prey thinks he can get away, but he's easy to track, and he runs slowly. At least rabbits require skill, even if they are timid. And deer, they can run. Deef misses deer. He rounds another corner, rank with human garbage and full of broken glass. He leaps over most of the glass, but comes down just at the edge of it, a shard digging into his paw. He can't help but yelp, but he turns it into a growl, and he sees how the running human looks back, nervous. Rabbit, Deef thinks again, this time for a different reason. He keeps running. The rabbit human is slowing down. There are many things Deef misses about home, but at least he still has hunting. Firefly, guest by Bitter Crimson. Eaten, Jane says, eyes narrowed. And then, ain't right that you should be asking this kind of question. Wash nods. As much as I can't believe I'm saying this, I agree with Jane. Who asks questions like that? River looks at him steadily until he adds, Eaten. River nods in return and looks at Zoe. Zoe just looks back, and internally, River sighs. Zoe never likes to play. She turns to Kaylee, who's watching her with wide, unhappy eyes. River, Simon says. It's just a question. It's not a nice question. It's morbid, and it makes people unhappy. Simon frowns. He always frowns. I ain't unhappy, Jane says, stuffing food into his mouth. It's just weird, just like her. I'm curious, River smiles at Simon, ignoring Jane. It's dangerous here. Danger. Everywhere. Pays to know. Understand. I don't think you need to understand the way everyone least wants to die, River. But, no. He never wants to play either. He doesn't understand. It helps to know it does. But he's frowning at her, and Mal is thinking thoughts about her setting herself up for a fit again. River drops it. For a few minutes. But we eat creatures to live. Chopsticks drop, and Kaylee's knee hits the table hard. It's quiet in the room. Quiet except for their thoughts. Ain't right, Jane thinks. And new dosage, Simon thinks. Mal's wondering again if she's a mistake, something that'll end up destroying everything he cares about. River squeezes her eyes shut, trying to ignore the clamor, the horror, the worry, the fear. And then Wash laughs, tentative, but still bright. We don't eat creatures, he says, pointing at his bowl. Haven't you noticed yet? We eat protein powder. Poking at the mush, he adds, well, maybe there's some bugs in there, but they don't count. River grins. Stargate SG-1. Guest by Minxie. It almost makes you long for the days of the Gould, doesn't it? Cameron slides further down behind the outcropping, hoping the Ori forces down below don't notice any movement. Probably they won't, given that most of them are crouched, heads down, bowed before the Prior. Still, there are sentries. It does not, Teal'c murmurs. At least the Gould had their own problems. He wonders if Sam sometimes thinks back on the years of fighting the Gould as the good old days. Vanity, enemies, Rebel Jaffa, that style. I do not long for those days to return. If the Gould had still been around, Jackson might not have... Colonel Mitchell. Cameron looks over. Yeah? We must leave this place, before they return to duty. Right, right, he knows that. And I do not wish those days to return. Do not ask me again. There's something final in his tone. Yeah, maybe the question had been a little tactless. Turning and pulling himself along the ground, Cameron nods. Gotcha. Stargate Atlantis. Guest by TrekGirl55. When it was his turn, Shepard said, Kittens. Rodney scowled. They'd be monsters wearing kitten clothing. They'd coax us into holding them, thinking they were defenseless, helpless, motherless orphans. And then, while we were sitting, cuddling them and feeding them tidbits of our food, they'd shed their kitten skins and eat us. Slowly. Across the fire, Ford laughed. You need to relax, Dr. McKay. Rodney poked at the fire with his stick. I am relaxed. This is how I relax. Thinking up scenarios so I'm never, ever surprised. Taylor frowned. I prefer to tell stories of joy and triumph when relaxing. For example, there was a time when I went with a trading party to a planet called Hindra. I was very young, but my father promised me I could visit another people with him. I felt very proud he trusted me to behave myself. She half smiled, clearly lost in the memory. At the end, he traded for a small pet creature for me. It was a Pedra, very popular with the Hindrans. I loved it very much. Was it about this big? Shepard mimed the size of a small cat. And furry, with whiskers? Taylor nodded. Yes. Sounds like a kitten. Rodney poked at the fire again. Did it ever turn into a face-eating monster? I'm just asking for future reference. Vampire High. Guest by Lyrtza. The curve of Meryl's back is perfect. Even through the bulk of her stolen jacket, Marty can see the newly honed muscles and the way she holds herself with absolute balance. Her hair hides her face, and Marty wants to reach out and brush it back, but by now he knows better. She looks placid, but he knows she's not. Marty never thought Meryl would be the one to revert. Once, Meryl had been everything the elders wanted from the program. Quiet, abiding from the rules, thinking like a human. She'd been Murdoch's prodigy, proof of the ways they could be brought low, made compassionate. He remembers her earnest expressions, her rare, shy smiles. In his memories of Meryl, her eyes are wide and guileless. Now when she grins at him, it's slow and sultry, and her eyes are always narrowed. She grins when she's hungry, or she wants him. She'll let her lips stretch wide after a fight with Fury Hunters, the expression wild and suited to her blood-spattered skin and clothes. They're the kind of looks he'd once longed to see. Meryl, shedding the restrictions that the experiment put on her. He'd wanted her to cast off her good girl veneer and show her teeth. And for once in his fucked-up existence, Marty has what he wished for. The academy is destroyed, the others dead, and they're running from Fury Hunters. He has a Meryl who twists her body during sex, during fights with the Fury, in new, imaginative, dangerous ways. He has a Meryl who acts, but rarely feels. At first, it was only sometimes, during the thick of a fight. But now, Meryl's losing it. In the old days before the Mansbridge Academy, Marty would have reveled in her changes. He would have done anything to encourage them. He'd have taken her example and run with it, sharing new perversions and old instincts. He and Meryl, together they would have terrorized the human world, making the stalk-and-kill actions of the Fury look pathetic and animalistic. He smirks at the thought. They still probably could, and the thought is more than appealing. They could stop running from the Fury, from the full takeover of instinct again. Marty never thought he'd be the one struggling to remember what Murdoch taught them. "Let's go," Meryl says, straightening and tossing aside the body of a drifter they'd found. Her mouth is smeared with blood. She's a mess, far from the neat, gray, buttoned-down self she'd been at the academy. Something inside Marty shudders, even as he realizes that she's never been more beautiful. This has been Tiny Ficklets, written by Anna Girl. Check out her live journal at annagirl.livejournal.com. Bye!